and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Well, according to the scripture, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and immediately he entered into the court of Gentiles, disrupted the temple economy, and drove out the money changers, including the sheep and the cattle. And the scripture said, "You have made my father's house a den of thieves and robbers." This house is a house of prayer. Well, what happened to Jesus? Well, if you look at the scripture earlier on, although in the original scripture there's no verses or markings that says, well, this is what has happened to Jesus. But if we look at the scripture, it says that Jesus was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. So if you want to invite Jesus to the wedding, I think it's good to do that because it was a happy event. The disciples really had fun. They had lots of food. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus looked to him and said, well, they ran out of wine. And Jesus said, well, my time has not yet come. But Mary, being a strong woman, said, they ran out of wine. And Jesus decided to perform his first miracle, and he changed the water into the most precious wine and the best thing of all. So for many of us, we would rather have Jesus stay in a wedding party and let him enjoy the benefits of good food and fellowship. Because once you take Jesus out of the wedding in Cana of Galilee, and once you bring Jesus into the temple courtyard, well, things start to happen. Things started to unravel. Because Jesus was not a happy camper. Jesus was not in a very good mood. So we have this image of Jesus making whips of cord. And in my own understanding, it's almost the same kind of cords that were used later on to flog him, you know, to persecute Jesus on Good Friday. So we have this image of Jesus swinging wildly like Indiana Jones, so to speak, and driving all of the money changers, including the oxen and the bulls and the sheep and the turtle doves, out of there in that marketplace. Isn't it the kind of Jesus that we want to take charge, to take control? And if things are not working the way it should be, we need someone who can really say, this is the way we ought to go. Because we want order and we want discipline. So that's the Hollywood version, isn't it, of the gospel story of Jesus who takes full command. And remember the Gentiles. I'll talk about the Gentiles later on. But if you look more closely at the scripture, it didn't say that Jesus whipped the men, although or women, and sometimes it's nice to see that in Jesus, isn't it? But instead, he used the cord to drive the animals out of there. And the men and the women, actually the Gentiles, and included in that group were Jewish people, they scattered. And when you scattered, when they scattered, what did they do? Of course, they scattered. They want to make sure that the sheep and the cattle and all of those things were herded back, you know, into the same place because Jesus just disrupted the local economy. So it was really a local economy because the Gentiles were doing the Jewish people a favor. And when I look at the scripture, the title that I had was Intervention, because I think this was really in the heart of Jesus. This is one of those rare occasions when we see the full humanity of Jesus. What can we get? What can we glean from the scripture this morning? Well, what happened to Jesus? He was happy And then all of a sudden, he was really upset about the whole situation. But can you blame Jesus? He came from Cana of Galilee to Jerusalem. That's about a two-day journey, going through rough roads, going through what we know as in Jericho. There were many bad guys over there in Jericho. But Jesus was hanging out with Gentile and Jews. And when I think about Jesus was so comfortable with the fellowship of different people from all walks of life. And that is why it's so difficult at times to understand why Jesus was so upset at the Gentiles. But I'll talk to you about that a little bit more. Who knows if Jesus had eaten non-kosher food? Well, the group that went to Israel, we were invited to a Jewish family, an Orthodox family. The food was bland. The potato was not the potato that I used to eat here in the United States. You know, when we have potato, we put butter, salt, and some other stuff right there, isn't it? That's the kind of potatoes that I was expecting. This was bland. The meat, I don't want to put down this family because they were gracious to us, but the meat was really bland. There's no salt, there's no pepper, there's no, what is that steak sauce that I like? A1 sauce. So I was looking for A1 sauce, you know. So Jesus really was good in having a good time with non-kosher foods. Remember, he was accused most of the time for hanging out with people who are not of his own. And I shared a devotion in Asian American Fellowship yesterday. When we folks meet, we add flavor to that. In Asian American communities, for example, when we prepare food, we stir fry, we mix in the ingredients. And so when people ask me, Pastor, do you have a recipe? And we don't have a recipe because the recipe is in the heart. Just like when you cook, right? It's in the memory of our own hearts. And it is good. And it depends on the palate of the one who is cooking, right? And that is universal in all ethnic groups. And Jesus really enjoyed doing that. And Jesus also said that what goes into your mouth is not the one that defiles, but rather what comes out of your mouth is really the one that defiles. Because Jesus really was being forced to submit to the strict purity and dietary laws of the people around him. But you see, in Jerusalem, there were many different cultures. Likewise, because there were many different cultures, there was an attraction to the worship of God. And the temple being the temple, very beautiful and gleaming in its holy splendor, was a natural place for people who were trying to seek God. And that is why I realize that is why they have the courts of the Gentiles. But the court of the Gentiles was outside. In order to go inside the main court, well, you have to be Jewish, right? But there are three important festivals that are required of every Jew. One is Passover, we know that, right? The second one is Shavuot, which is Pentecost, we know that. And the last one is called the Feast of Booth or Tabernacle. When the people were in the wilderness, they wanted to build tabernacles in order to honor God. So it was a practical thing, for example, for the Jewish people to buy sacrificial animals in the courtyard. Well, can you imagine all of these pilgrims bringing their sheep and their cattle all the way? It would have been a kind of messy thing, isn't it? And so our idea of Jesus going into the temple on Palm Sunday would have been different, all right? Because you know what I'm talking about. You have to step over all of these things that the animals bring and releases. You know what I'm talking about. So if it's about purity laws, it's not really good. And so the Gentiles were doing the Jewish people a favor. And the second thing is, all of the Gentiles were coming from different parts of the world, including Jewish people. Some of them were coming from places where they were once in exile. And if you travel, what do you bring? What do you do when you get out of the airplane? Well, you go to the currency exchange, correct? You want to exchange your money. And so that's what they were doing. They were exchanging their coins with the image of Caesar and exchange it for shekel with no images, and silver shekel, because that is the only thing that is acceptable in the temple courtyard. And what happened was, if you cannot go, you can ask John, can you bring my offering to the temple? Can you buy some animals for me to be sacrificed on my behalf? And of course, that's where the economy lies. And Jesus was so upset because they have converted this sacrificial practice that is holy and divine into something that is akin or in the same place as a marketplace. That's why Jesus said, you have turned my Father's house into a den of robbers. You see, Jesus was not against worship or against different styles of worshiping God. You know, Jesus was upset because their livelihood became their own spirituality instead of honoring God. You see, when we worship God, our character changes. So wherever you go, if you worship God, the character in your own lives to worship God, that is the same wherever you go, because that is where the heart of God is all about. And so the Gentiles were doing the pilgrims a favor. And of course, there were Jewish folks in there also making a living and keeping the faith. The Gentiles were doing Jesus and his disciples a favor. So it was very difficult to conceive of Jerusalem without any Gentiles. They built roads. They cooked the food. They were escorts in the courts of Herod. They were healers. They were teachers. They were entertainers. They were in the theater area. Today, even today, when you go in Jerusalem, you will find many people from all parts of the world doing exactly the same thing, because the Jewish people cannot do some of these things. Caregivers, for example, are there. And there are new places of worship over there, Christian and sometimes non-Christian. To this day, as I said, they are there. Some of you know the play Hamilton, right? Some of you have seen that. And what's the famous word in Hamilton? Immigrants, they get the job done. I have a different take. Gentiles, they get the job done. And so the crowds, including the foreigners, trying to make a living. But Jesus changed our understanding of spirituality. You see, if you go to an ancient cathedral or any cathedral that is cavernous and really big, I was told, and I tried it, and I think it's true, if you stand in one corner of the cathedral because there is a beautiful acoustics, and you have another person on the other side, if you whisper a word, they say you can hear that. I tried that. I think I was able to hear what the other person is saying. But you see, unlike cathedrals, the place in Jerusalem was bustling with energy. Even today, when you go there, you really have to jostle for space, because there are many different people there trying to find a place closer to God. So Jesus used this moment to talk about the real reason for his ministry. And what is that? And Jesus said, the real reason for his ministry is that in 3 days, God will destroy this temple, which is his own body. But in 3 days, he will restore it in 3 days. And what was the response? How can it be? For 46 years, they've been building this temple, and you can bring it up in 3 days? But Jesus said, was talking about his own life and his own resurrection. I read a word from one of my favorite authors by the name of Anne Lamont. And she talks about her own father, who was a teacher back in the 1950s. I don't know where San Quentin Prison is. Maybe it's in California or somewhere else. And she said that her father, being a teacher, used his spare time to teach the prisoners how to read and how to write. And her father said, all good teachers know that inside a remote or angry person is a soul. Way deep down, this soul is capable of human life, a person with hope, a person longing for a better story. Well, Jesus was not only talking about hope and a better story. Jesus was talking about redemption. During Lent, we talk about the cross. And during Lent, we talk not only about the cross, but we also talk about the power of the resurrection. You see, without Jesus, we are nothing. We cannot, like the disciples, never fully experience the presence of someone until there is absence. It took the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ before it finally sink in the minds of his disciples. They did not realize the story until the very end. And I know that my daughter will kill me because I'm going to share this again. I often say to her, you know, I miss you. And she'll look at me and she'll say, how can you miss me, Dad? I'm here all the time. Am I not? And she often say that. And so we have a back and forth, you know, joking about that whole thing. You see, you cannot miss someone. You cannot miss someone unless someone is gone or went on to a different place. That's when you miss someone, right? When there is an absence. And that is why the disciples were saying, yes, we miss Jesus Christ, but because he is absent. But Jesus came back, and what did the scripture says? I will give you the Holy Spirit as an advocate on my behalf. There's a spiritual architecture that Jesus is talking about. It's a different architecture. It's not about the temple. It's about a spiritual architecture that transcends between time and space. You see, relationship with God through Jesus Christ doesn't develop in a vacuum. We think that, you know, oh, we can develop a relationship with Jesus Christ on one-on-one basis and we are good with this kind of private spirituality. We cannot. People grow in faith and commitment. All of us grow in faith and commitment when we invest not only our time, but when we invest our prayer in Jesus Christ. Jesus, in this scripture, really points out to what is happening in his world and in our world today. The path that leads to life everlasting is through the grace of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was speaking about the temple of his own body. Create in me, according to the book of Psalms, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. No sacrifice, or my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You will not despise. Thanks be to God.